Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Create your own site in minutes with .net's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's S-H-O-T.
I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to WGGM Radio. Same place every day, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I am your host, Amanda Dowell, every Monday for Messages of Light, which is a network of radio shows run by the lovely Reverend B. And she has a fabulous website, www.ggmradio.com. And I absolutely love being a host. It's one of my favorite things to do. And every day I'm definitely wide awake, you know, knowing what's going on all the time, every single day. And we're always awake on Monday. So that song just really resonates. We're all wide awake and we're all listening and we're all breathing and we're all listening to nutrition. It's the perfect song for my guest today, who is all the way from St. Louis, which is right here in my hometown, too. I've been here and love it and call it home. And I met Robin in a really cool place where they sell herbs and different essential oils. And I was just very amazed at Robin's aura because she's a nutritional person. She works with cranial sacral therapy. She works as a lymphatic drainage therapist. And Robin was trained and certified in cranial sacral and lymphatic, and she is such a strong healer. And her practice has served patients at Barnes Jewish Advanced Medicine and several other rehabilitation facilities. She's included holistic herbalism in her practice, and she's enrolled as a professional herbalist, which is, you know, amazing. So she does herbology, and she's also certified in something that's called Concerns of Police Survivors, Inc., COPS, for trauma care. So that's for the police and the military. And she's got some books and things out, too, and I'm just really excited to have her back on the show. She's been on before. It's been a while. So our call-in number is 347-237-5339. Again, that's 347-237-5339. All right. So with all of that in mind, I'm going to bring Robin live to the show now and have her talk a little bit about herself. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Well, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Wonderful.
Oh, wonderful. I was listening to the music also before I came on live, and I was listening to the one song before this last one where this man was saying in the background, leave no trace. When you go visit the mother, leave no trace. And it touched me because I realized I've been thinking a lot about our footprints, and I think in this day and age, we all know what we mean by that. It's not just the tracks we leave in the woods or the snow, but, you know, where we go, you know, who we see, what kind of emotional, physical, you know, not just in the woods, leaving a potato chip bag or an empty water bottle or, you know, things like that, but what spiritual footprints do we leave behind us? And I heard a phrase once, and it just has stayed with me so profoundly. Some people come into a room, and they bring sunshine with them. And some people, when they come into a room, they take the sunshine, or the sunshine comes back when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, with the holidays coming, I noticed that there is a higher level of stress building in people, and my practice seems to be showing an ebb towards fear and preparation and expectation issues. And I just wanted to bring that up, that for a moment, just think about your family or the people you've chosen that are your family. And, you know, my family put the FUN in dysfunction, and we all love each other. But it's wild and woolly sometimes. And this year, I've chosen, and they understand, to step back and to have more private time and more quiet time. And I'm not participating in the rush that's happening. I'm really going to be walking, you know, calmly and presently. I'm excited about being able to take some restorative yoga time with Sherry Summers. She doesn't know this yet.
I'm wanting to
spend some time in yoga with her. And also somebody that I know, Josh Wolf, I know is going to be doing some Kundalini yoga at Shafley Bottle Works, and he's usually there on Sundays, so hunt him down. And I think we all know about self-care, but if somebody came up to you right now and you looked at them and you realized, wow, they really need some support, they really need some help, and then you realized you were looking in a mirror, would you stop and give that to yourself like you were giving it to a stranger and just sat down and was present with them or listened to them? And so today, wherever you are, you know, whether you're in traffic, and a lot of people get really excited about getting frustrated when they're in traffic. Well, guess what? This is the season for traffic. And take that time instead of getting frustrated. That is specifically just for you. And that whatever will work out. And that you have a moment to breathe. And you have a moment to be present with yourself. And what's not included in that are thinking about the bills, thinking about the Christmas list, thinking about where you have to be at a certain time, but where are you right now? And I think that really touched me because I realized how in the fervor of the Christmas spirit, under the guise of the Christmas spirit, we can just get into this incredible rush and frustration, rush and exhaustion, rush and expectation problem. And instead of just slowly walking toward or with and around, I hope that's kind of, I'm trying to convey that we aren't that present. And I think being present for yourself and others would be the ultimate present this season. Today, when I was getting ready, I thought, well, I've got this, this, and this, and I have to see this person, and this person's coming, and I'm going through my mental list. And then I thought, well, I need to be open. I need to be open for myself and put some extra leeway in there to eat and not eat in rush and to sit and to go over my notes and my files. And I also, because it's the season, I want to put a little fun time in for me. And for me, that's people that I love or grabbing a lunch with somebody that I love or care about, you know, and just being in that place, in that presence of sharing their spirit and their heart and their personality and not thinking about where I need to be or what I need to do. I put it on a list and I kind of let it go. I wanted to mention that there's a change in my world on a personal level. Several months back, my dog, Shasta, transitioned and crossed over, and she was a shared dog by many. Sherry Summers had her for a while, and some other people had her. She was a rescue dog from Hurricane Katrina, and so am I. Not a rescue dog, but a rescue person. And I didn't know that she was from Katrina until a while later when I was going through her paperwork and sitting with her. And I got to have time with her. And the pets that are in our lives, you know, and we're pets to them, there's another need to, you know, when we have these animals in our midst, to really give them time and presence. You know, during the season, it's easy to rush and be really fast and forget that holly is poisonous and poinsettias are poisonous. And some Christmas ornaments really aren't that smart to put on the tree because if they fall and your animal plays with it, it could hurt them or harm them. So keep that in mind. And just a side note, after my dog, my dear dog, passed, two other dogs came into my realm. And, of course, the people who know me are like, yes, well, that makes sense. And I have a beautiful 2-year-old husky named Zane. And right now he's resting on the floor and he's peeping up at me. And I have a girl
dog named
Spirit. Well, he's beautiful. He's definitely, we are learning from each other, and I really honor them because they really bring something to the table for me personally. And my next addition, her name is Spirit, and her grandfather is a wolf, and so she's 1/4 wolf, but she looks like she is a wolf. And so when I take her in places, the vet techs all run up and look at her, but she doesn't know that. She just thinks she's her. And she definitely has a wild side. So I've been able to, instead of be frustrated when she decides to decorate my bedroom with the feathers from my pillow because she smells the feathers.
Oh, how cute.
I'm just trying to calm down and breathe with it and just kind of move with the ebb and flow of stresses and things that happen. They're a big part of my life because they're going to be going through some specialized training, and I'm really trying very hard to listen to what they want as well, not just my agenda. And so I've been working with them, and that takes commitment to a relationship. And I'm finding some real deep peace and quiet and laughter and wonderful ridiculosity with them. And they remind me every day that I'm human and I'm an animal. And on that note, you know, they're very serious about their food. And I love feeding them and celebrating how exciting it is. Because, I mean, how many people have a dog who are listening out there? They get excited about their food. And I've been feeding them something called Blue Buffalo, which is just a little perk out there for them. I don't know them. All I know is their food is amazing, and my animals love it. And I wanted to promote them. I also wanted to promote the herb store that I've done a lot with in the past is Cheryl's Herbs, and they're on Manchester Road in Maplewood. And I know that right now that they're really probably speaking a lot about adaptogens. And adaptogens are herbs that help you transition, you know, and help you kind of de-stress and help you move from place to place. And, you know, right now during the season, it really is not the time to go, hey, I think I'm going to quit drinking coffee right now, or I'm going to quit smoking cigarettes, because right now there's so much going on. You can start doing the spiritual work for it. Unless you've already started, but, you know, I would really focus on what can help support you during this season. And one of the things that I'm keeping in mind personally is that in our culture, and I just ran into Deerberg's a little bit ago, and I zoomed right past the salad bar that they had, and I thought, wow, that looks just awesome. And then I realized all of it is really cold. And then I realized what the Chinese teach is that our stomach is our soup pot. And that's where, you know, we keep it during the winter time and late autumn time. We try to fortify it with, you know, warmth and not cold things. And so the things that you do, I mean, you can take a salad and saute it. It would be wonderful. You could use spinach instead of iceberg lettuce. Or you could use, oh, golly, y'all can run with that on your own. But it's just important to realize if you're trying to look after your weight or think about what you're eating, one of the hardest things on your system right now would be to eat lots of icy, cold lettuce and salads and dressings. It would be simpler to have soups and use some herbs as a base in the soups, and like Romania and things like that. And also, you know, just thinking about what time you're eating and, you know, when you're eating is important, because it seems like in our culture, there's a lot of people who are getting reflux and digestive issues and also inflammatory issues. And so just thinking about the foods that you eat and the junk foods that's out there, you know, that you might want to support yourself best maybe by finding an alternate treat for yourself. I don't draw a hard line in the sand on that, because sometimes that piece of chocolate cake is just what it is, and I'm not going to deny myself that joy, but that's like a big time treat. And you know, and I'm not going to spank myself over that, but it's not the, oh, because it's the season, I'm going to have that all the time. You know, I'm just trying to pick and choose what I'm going to be treating myself with. And in my mind, I have my list. I know exactly where they are. You know, there's a lemon. What is that thing? I'll ask you. You tell me your favorite treat. Decadent treat.
That sounds amazing right there. You know, all of the salad, you know, I mean, everybody loves their chocolate or their, you know, it's all in how you treat it. Like you said, you know, it's amazing. I mean, you could make something simple from fruit and it would still be just as good as, you know, the little piece of chocolate that you had, you know, and it could be something so good that it's, you know, you can do amazing things, like what you were talking
chocolate
about.
Chocolate is not a bad thing. You know, I think everything in moderation, but also regarding the fruit, it's the same thing. You can take apples and bake them. You can saute fruit pieces into a sauce and put it on something, but just nibbling away like we did in summertime isn't going to work for us. So it's just tending our soup pot. And if anybody has any further questions, they can call me or the herb store, Cheryl's Herbs in Maplewood, or myself. And my number is 314-546-3066. And, you know, I can go into that further with you, the kind of things that you can do. I did have an idea in mind when you were asking me about speaking today. And I mentioned it at the beginning, but talking about our footprint and where we go and you know, what do we leave behind us? And I think that right now there a lot of people are rushing. I was really sad. I saw some video of, I guess they're calling it, was it Black Friday? Where everybody runs into the stores. Cyber Monday, and it's all this running and fear of not getting and that I think it was at its peak when I witnessed that video of people just, I think some people have died doing that. And my sister and I have, I guess it started when she was in college, but we crochet for each other. We, you know, and I've been learning how to knit, and I'm having fun making presents for people and getting some things, but really taking some meditation time and some prayer time when I'm thinking of that person and I'm making their gift and having quiet time for myself as well. And I'm just kind of thinking, do you have any thoughts in mind or any questions that you want to ask me?
I like what you said about making a gift, you know, speaking about the rush and not being able to, you know, get what you need. You know, that's a very interesting comment about, you know, the week and, you know, how things are going and the weekend and how everything is. I've seen that as well. People are just in this rush, this mode. You know, I have a joke, a frenzy. Yeah. I mean, I have a joke with a friend. I said, you know, I'm definitely not Russian. And, you know, it really is true because, I mean, you know, and I mean like the culture Russian, but really it's kind of an expression where, you know, you're rushing, you're in a hurry. And so I will joke with people and talk with them about that. Well, you must be Russian today. It must be the new culture, you know, and I mean that jokingly because that's what we do. You know, we see people all the time doing that, and I've observed it too, and I think, wow, they're in such a hurry, but yet, you know, we can have everything we need and could ever want right there. You know, a lot of times it's about things and what people, you know, just what you said about putting the thought into the gift that you, you know, sit back and you're crocheting something and you're making something and it becomes, you know, okay, well, this is for my sister. You know, let's just use your sister. This is for my sister and I'm making it. That's such a difference than, you know, rushing very fast
to a store,
you know,
just to trade
get the latest
something for
yeah.
money, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because what I was hearing when you said that was, I put my time into it. I put my energy into it. So when I think of something like that, I think, well, you know, there are those nice things that you could get, whatever. But, you know, okay, let's say that somebody did go to the rock shop and they got me a rock, you know, because that's some of the things I like. I mean, I also like the handmade things like you were talking about. Even if they just took the time to slowly get the rock and then they were prayerfully putting their prayers into a rock, it could be anything, you know, that in itself is precious. Or even just going out and finding a rock and going, okay, I'm going to prayerfully put my time into, you know, I like how you were talking about that because that really does bring up strong points about how we see people and the rush and the traffic and being, you know, harmed in that. It's true.
But I think an important factor is being able to communicate what it is that you really want and what you don't want. You know, you might ask somebody if your present this year could be making some hummus, you know, for them and dropping it off or you know, making a couple of things and not being part of the party, but just trying to help a friend with a party or gathering. Or I've been working on, I'm going to say this live and out loud, I've been really on my own and with the internet and with some friends, learning how to play the guitar. And I've been wanting to play this one song for Christmas. And that's just something I'm working on because that's part of what I want my gift to be. And I think that not participating in that tyranny of the urgency is going to help me enjoy my holiday and my health and my frame of mind, my peace of mind, because in families and friends, we have so many expectations about, you know, what we want, what we would like for them, how much we love them. We want to show them how much we love them, you know, and I'm not going to poo-poo Christmas because I like Christmas, but, you know, maybe you could say, hey, listen, my Christmas present this year, you would be a wonderful, you know, lunch somewhere, you know, someplace, some time with you, and write it down and not have it be, well, I was able to get those wonderful boots she wants, you know, or this or that, but, you know, but communicate with the person and ask them what they want, you know, what's going on in their life and be present for them with that. I'm noticing at work that a lot of people are coming in showing the stresses of the physical stresses, how the body manifests stress, emotional stress, you know, a lot of lower back issues and shoulder issues and feet issues and a lot of emotional issues coming up. And, you know, we just had Thanksgiving, and I was able to be with some friends, and it was wonderful. And I also wanted to put a shout-out to Soulard Baptist Church. The reason I'm shouting out to them is because they have a program called Feed My Peeps, and it's with Jackie Dirksmeyer, and they – it's not just during the holidays. They are constantly getting food, wonderful food, and feeding people who don't have food, feeding people that don't have kitchens. And during the summer, they have a community garden. And that just touched me that they do this. I could care less about the denomination. I'm looking at their actions. And they follow through in their present. And
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about who else I've heard lately that are involved. So many people are doing things. And, this is fun. And I'm speaking to in the culture of Facebook. And you can go on my Facebook, Robin Reese, St. Louis, Missouri, and you can find Celia. And she does she's a musician, and she is having, it's called, the Yuletide Express. And it's a gathering of people, and they sing in various groups and various places all over St. Louis. And the Yuletide Express. And they were just at the Gatesworth. And I think I'm bringing up these things because in the middle of all this chaos, there are people that literally don't have family, that don't have lots of friends, or maybe their friends are out of town, or maybe they just are kind of quiet this year and are trying to figure out something that they want to do that's quiet and helpful and useful and giving. And, you know, there's a lot of programs that are going on right now. And as a matter of fact, my friend Jackie was sending a thank you out. Somebody put eight coats on her front yard or on her front porch so that she could, you know, bring it to a group of people that aren't prepared for the winter. And, you know, that being said, you know, wearing scarves and gloves, taking the extra time for yourself to put a hat on, taking the extra time for yourself to fully dry your hair before you leave in the morning. You know, these are all the things that are supportive for yourself. And, you know, what things don't change for yourself in a holiday where there's change all around. And being able to sit down and eat instead of eating in the car or eating standing up, you know, taking a moment to chew your food a little bit longer. All these things add up, taking that time to go find somebody that does restorative yoga, like Sherry Summers,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking the time and still being able, maybe choosing one or two gatherings to go to instead of six or seven, you know, and communicating your love for people, but just that, you know, your expectation for yourself is becoming more realistic maybe. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I have a stepmother that's in an Alzheimer's unit, and, you know, my family has had to really evaluate our expectations
sure.
and learn to be more present, because when you're with, it's really been a wonderful gift of presence, because she forgets that she saw me the day before. And so
mm-hmm.
when she sees me, she's so excited and so present. And I love yous come so easy that I am totally cool being that present and staying there in that space of love and kind of traversing the moment with her to the next moment. And there's this interesting place of presence that is more predominant. And our society would see that as a wall, as a frustration for them. But really, if you go with them with this and follow them and are present with them, their view of what's going on around them is actually really a gift, you know, for
yes,
all
it
of us.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. I mean, you're coming in from rushing from work, rushing to here, picking up the kids, going to the grocery store, blah, 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 blah. And then, oh, my God, then you got to go to the facility, you know, the place. you know, and this particular place is wonderful. And you get there and suddenly you're in a different world. And our norm is to go, oh, wow, smack right in the face. There's a wall. This is different. And instead of kind of easing into it like the water. And so my prayer for all, whoever, is that from moment to moment, from place to place, from people to people, that as your spirit moves, that it's able to be present wherever you're at, and that you can be who you are and do what you am, and when you go to the next place, that your footprint, your spiritual footprint, is that that person or that place has that deeper eternal love and respect of your presence, even when you're physically not there. And, you know, I'm thinking about the spiritual implications of the holiday. And there are many people that, you know, celebrate Christmas and aren't Christians. And they celebrate it just out of, this is a time for love. And same thing, you know, with Thanksgiving. And, you know, and I understand some of the political ramifications of celebrating Thanksgiving, you know, and the American Indians. And I'll never forget, I was a young girl, and my stepmother, she's from out west, and she always caught us by surprise, but from Arizona, and she was saying grace at dinner. And she said, I just really want to thank the turkey. Thank you for giving up your life. And I was like, oh, my God. And at first, everybody started to laugh. And then we kind of settled into it. And it wasn't not long after that my sister became vegetarian. And it's interesting how things play out in my family and in our friendships with other people around us. But I just am trying to share with everybody to take the judgment off, you know, share some love, share some space of time. Don't get too wigged out on, you know, being at six different parties, or if you can do it, so be it. But if you don't want to, I support you on that, and you don't have to. Do you have any other thoughts or ideas?
I like how you are talking about how your is it your mother that's in the
my stepmother
nursing home? Stepmother.
Yeah, my maternal mother is in Mississippi, and I just I was just
wonderful.
Down there. Remind
and
me in a minute. I'll tell you about that.
That's wonderful. I like your thoughts on that, because I had a similar experience where I went to a nursing home as well, and, you know, the same sort of thing where they're very present, but, you know, they're in a very interesting world, but they're present with you. And I like how you said, you know, that each moment, well, they're very present with you and the love is there. And I witnessed that with a friend of mine who, you know, is very much like you. She's into the oils and, you know, herbs and bike riding, and she's very present. And she says, well, my mother can't dress herself. And I said, right. Your mother can't dress herself, but your mother has so much more of a gift that, you know, you can't even imagine, you know, unless you really take the time to stop and really look. And, you know, that's really a gift of celebration, being able to take in the love that you have right there, like you were talking about.
And to be clear, there are other people that are trying to deal with, not every situation is the same when you're dealing with people who have illnesses or challenges physically or mentally or emotionally. But no matter what, if you hold that space for yourself, that's a gift for them. And also knowing that I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to try to figure everything out. And I can say to her, hey, you know, I don't know. Let's ask. Or do you want to ask now, or do you want to ask later, and letting them have the choice. On another note, when I was in Mississippi, I had a chance to go kayaking. And my dear friend Stacy Perry, she might be listening. She actually was asking.
That's wonderful.
You know, how to connect in. So, hello, La. And she says, hey, La, and I say, hey, La. That's our love names. But she's one of my dearest girlfriends, and she's in Ocean Springs, Biloxi, Mississippi. And she has the Chuticabuff River that goes right behind her house. And I was going up the Chuticabuff, and I thought, wow, you know, this thing could tip over. You know, what if a boat comes by? All these things. But then I realized, I get wet, you know, and I hold on and I crawl back in, or I go to the edge, you know, of the land. And it's not that big of a deal. But irregardless, I was able to see a lot of animals and see the beauty of this river. And I could still see the ravaged areas from Katrina. And when I was visiting around Gulfport, I could still see, you know, right out in the open areas that have never come back from the hurricane. And I heard somebody say recently that it takes like 20 to 30 years for land to shift, you know, or for humanity to move with it and redevelop. But part of me kind of likes the rawness that's left there, some of the scar that's left there, because it's a reminder of a time and something that happened. And I look at going through Hurricane Katrina as the greatest learning school I've ever attended. You know, in a month's time, I was able to grow and be a different person and ignore that little beeping sound. that's somebody on my phone. And anyway, actually, it's one of my girlfriend's kid, and I think she was trying to get the what do you call that? The listing that you put out for the radio show. Could you give that out loud?
blogtalkradio.com/GGM radio. Yeah, it hooks you right into, you know, you can go there and it'll be recorded, so she can go and listen to it, you know.
Excellent.
He or she or whomever can go and listen to it after.
Excellent.
Or, you know, our call-in number, 347-237-5339, will hook you in through the phone, or, you know, they can talk
Excellent.
To you, you know, over the phone, too. So what brought you to a place of working with people in healing? You know, what really brought you to that?
This is really interesting to myself. I had gone through Hurricane Katrina, and I lost my business and my home. And I was staying there for about a month. And I came to St. Louis, and that really wasn't my first choice to come to St. Louis. But I ended up here because there was more of a flow to get here. It was easier to get here than any other place. And when I got here, I was amazed by several friends because, you know, I grew up here too, going back and forth. And it was really strange to suddenly be back here. And I was considered, and I still am considered politically, a refugee because I mm-hmm. came up here from Katrina, which is really funny. But 2 weeks before Katrina, I was in town in St. Louis. Dear friend of mine, she was having cancer surgery, and they took 95% of her stomach. And then I came back to the coast. And then after Katrina, I came back up, and I was looking after her and trying to find help. And my family has been, you know, there's a lot of doctors and psychiatrists and medicine in my family. And I was pushed to go beyond the norm because I was desperate. Because when in doubt, what do? You know, with a child or somebody's hurting, you put your hand on them. And I knew that helped. And I knew that I'd heard of a woman, her name was Sue Costa, and she did cranial sacral therapy, but I didn't know that's what it was. I actually, I was nervous because I thought she was one of those people that would, they would put their fingers into you and pull out diseased parts of your body, you know, something that's from Haiti or something. I wasn't 100% sure, but I was so desperate that I was open. I was open, and I knew that I needed to find out more because my friend was in physical pain, and I didn't have the luxury of judgment, and that's not a luxury, but I didn't have the room for judgment. I was desperate, and somebody gave me this woman's name, and she was in the office of a chiropractor. His name is John Bott, and he's in Webster Groves as a chiropractor. And I went in to meet her, and she said, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I don't take any new clients, and I'm going home to cook dinner with my family." And I said, "Well, I understand." And then she kind of looked at me, and I was like, "Oh, this is weird. Okay, I know where the door is." But I could feel her looking at me. And she goes, "Well, tell me about you. Who are you?" And I was like, "Who am I? I don't know who I am anymore. I've lost everything. I've lost my identity as a professional artist that did very well. I mean, on the coast, it was a little over 11 years of my body of work was completely gone in houses, in auctions. Was completely gone. And my own recording, my photographs and things that were on the computer were gone. So I was starting over, you know, from square one. And I think my spirit of creativity was in crisis along with me. And I was in a place of rebirth. And my energy couldn't go for that. I was doing some very private painting, but I couldn't do very much public work. And I've just this summer did a mural for somebody on the back of their building and had a great time with it. But nevertheless, I went back and I allowed this woman to work with me, and she held my head in her hand, and I felt peaceful. And then I felt like I could feel her energy moving in my body, and I felt like circulating movements of things winding out in my body, and I was like, okay, and I can't close my eyes because I'm not going to close my eyes. I've got one eye on her, and then I started feeling more relaxed, and then there would be moments when I would feel emotion, and I would let it pass, and I had had some personal injury and pain issues in my body, and that was feeling more comfortable. And she invited me back. Well, she and her husband, I think I can say clearly that they pretty much adopted me. And they, you know, she sent me to school, and she said that I had a gift and that she wanted to help me grow that gift. And I interned with her in her practice for 4.5 years, almost every day. And she fed me, she and her husband fed me, and my practice growing. And,
wow.
And then I went to massage school. And at that time I had a full practice, so I was going to school at night. And that was at a gathering place with Cindy Goodnetter. And And I just, I just kept showing up, and Sue kept allowing me in, and she helped me grow and let go of things that didn't support who I was or where I needed to be, or thoughts or feelings that didn't support who I needed to be, you know, old patterns. A real good example of that is peer visiting, or I can't remember when it was exactly, but my grandmother was saying something about, we're on the highway, and she was nervous. And she said, oh, and it was when Highway 40 was, I think there was a lot of brand new highway. And she said, oh, all these people going out to West County, and all, that's all new money, and they're rude. And I was like, oh, my God, what does that mean? I didn't understand any of it. But somehow my little brain took in, don't drive on Highway 40. So 40 years later, I'm living by Highway 40, and I'm going, there's a course that I'm attending, and I'm thinking, So I drove all the way over to Webster Groves to go down to the Arch instead of 16 seconds to go down and around the corner and get on the on-ramp and be on Highway 40. And then it comes out in process during this course, because the type of courses I take, you're the student, but you're also, you know, the patient as well. And I had table time, and suddenly these things were coming to my mind that, wow, I did not want to drive on Highway 40 because I had this belief structure that people are more rude on 40. And then I realized,
really, wow.
And I know that story sounds so stupid, except it's the perfect example of how we grow fear and how we grow boundary lines of fear that really taint our lives without us even realizing it. And I was so amused by myself that I use that story as a perfect example, that I drove across town to grab another highway to get near the end of the highway that I lived near, you know, down by the Arch.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes.
And I mean, I didn't even know exits or on-ramps, and now I'm an old pro now because I think I'm so tickled by it. But, you know, that's just how our belief structures go. And, you know, with the holidays coming, we have ideas about what the holidays are supposed to mean. And, you know, take some time to ask yourself, are those ideas supportive, and are they realistic? Are they really of the here and now and where I am and what I need? You know, and same thing, you know, these expectations. You know,
so, Robin, what is this book you're writing? You're getting ready to write a book, or you have a book out?
I've been working on it.
I'm excited about everything that you're doing because, you know, it involves healers and, you know, like I said, ever since the first time I met you, it's just been exciting, you know, that you're doing so many things here in St. Louis, and you're such a bright light to people. So let's talk about your book.
Okay. And, boy, I guess I need to do that.
I do too. I have my own coming out. So we're helping each other here. So I said, okay, what's your book about?
Okay, well, I actually have several things that I've been working on, and one of them is it's about our relationships with women and how we support ourselves and how we support our sisters and our friendships and, you know, how our relationships are. And sometimes we, like I said, these belief structures, we even have these expectations about what our friendship should be. And sometimes there are people that they come and go. They were meant to come for a time and a lesson, and then they're gone. And I notice that there tends to be a lot of drama. La petite drama, my friend Kate says. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that really doesn't have to be, or does it? Well, not for me. And so I started thinking about our relationships that we have and what brings us together and how we can grow from each other and you know, how we can let go of what doesn't support us anymore or what we don't need necessarily anymore, and really take some of the judgment off of that and just how to support ourselves and our truth and not get caught up in the drama of relationship issues that are kind of, am I allowed to say bullshit on the internet?
You are. And it really is true, because that's what it is. You know, sometimes we find people who get into those types of relationships like you're talking about, and they attach themselves on and they don't know how to get out of it. So
right.
I like how you're, you know, because they're so energetically attached, they don't know how to cut a cord or how to, you know,
right.
let that go. So that's very
or
interesting.
Or they feel so badly about it. They feel so guilty
yes.
about it. And a lot of the writing is about how to let go of the guilt. You know, an example would be there, and it's just that people are different. And sometimes, you know, we meet somebody and we're just supposed to get something that we get. And then let go and go on and take the agenda off of it. And sometimes it's just, you know, our assumptions about our relationships are that everybody needs to be our best friend or up in our stuff or know all our personal information. And that's not necessarily true. We have as many different types of friendships and relationships as there are relationships. And I think I've over since Katrina, one of the things that came for me was really learning about boundaries and about what are safe boundaries and what I want to share and what I don't want to share.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that has a lot to do with finding your voice and being able to draw a line in the sand or delicately say, "Oh, I'm going to bow out. Thank you kindly." Or no. No works real well. Just to say, no, thank you. You might hear an invisible train coming to a halt, but no, thank you works really well. And I remember this is really funny, but I gave somebody a Christmas present that I was so excited about. I just knew they would love it. Oh, my God. I was so excited about it. And I gave it to them, and they looked at it, and they said, and now people have various responses to this next part, but they said, "Oh, that's really not my thing. I'm going to give that back to you." Now, my inner child was all wounded.
Oh, my
goodness.
What?
Squawk, squawk, what did she just do? She just, and I thought, and it took me almost a year to process this, and I was like, whoa. And now I'm finally, gosh, I'm so in awe of her strength of voice to be able to know, hey, somebody else is going to dig this more than me. Now, granted, I might have different people skills in which I might use while doing that, but it was still such a wonderful lesson to be able to go in and excavate within myself about what's my part of that, you know, how come
mm-hmm.
this hurts so much? And then kind of go, well, do I need it to hurt that much? No. Okay.
No.
And just kind of process through and do the work. And that's just one example, you know, where
mm-hmm.
all of my friends, I'm excited that they're friends. I like introducing my friends to each other. And when I had my 50th birthday party, I'll be 52 in April. Wow. But when I was 50,
you don't look it either.
Well, thank you kindly. But I thought, wow, I'm going to invite everybody I know, you know, and throw them all in a big room, and it'll be what it'll be. And it was the most fun, and I love the idea of my friends becoming friends, and you know, I don't have to be there. I don't have to be the conduit. I like the idea of introducing people to each other and moving on, you know. And I can be there, but I don't have to be there. And a lot of the female dynamics that I've seen they would, you know, people would might use that as a way to sit into some self-pity and, well, they left me out. And no, you introduce them and they resonate and they're running with it. And, you know, it's an interesting tool ourselves, you know, to work on the things that, you know, our checklist about what we get our feelings hurt over. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially during the holidays. And just really take a real pointed look at it. And just, you know, be okay with laughing at yourself or protecting yourself and saying, you know, that's the real deal. That one hurts and I'm going to look after myself. You know, or that one's kind of silly. I'm going to let that one go, you know. But, just, you know, being aware, being present with yourself and asking yourself, you know, am I okay, you know, letting go of what doesn't support
me?
Absolutely. So a lot of it's
absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on today, Robin. It's been wonderful. And why don't you leave your contact information one more time for
sure.
everybody, and then we'll end the show, and we'll have you come back
okay.
again.
Wonderful. My name is Robin Reese. My office is at Hanley and Clayton Road. And my phone number is 314-546-3066. And, you know, be a present to yourself this season, you know, for yourself. Figure out what you
absolutely.
Need to do. Okay.
All right. Thank you,
Robin.
Day. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Blessings.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Blessings.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com. and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake. I'm wide awake. Yeah, I was in the dark. I was falling hard with an open heart. I'm wide awake. How did I read the stars so well? I'm wide awake, and now it's clear to me that everything is here.
kiss.